What's going on, guys? It's the Biggs Podcast, episode number 65. And today we are going to talk about our 2023 sleepers, breakouts, busts, and bounce back candidates. These are guys that are going to outperform their draft stock or, in fact, not perform where they're being drafted. In the case of comebacks, this is perhaps a guy who was injured or a guy who was down last year that we expect to be much better this year. When I say we, I'm talking about my co-host, first from Denver, Colorado, in, you said, almost 60-degree weather. Is that right, Jason Ashby?
Yes, sir. Spring is in the air. I love it.
You have got yourself ready for this show. Are you excited for this one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is, we're getting so close to the draft here, guys. I can just taste it. It's 2 weeks away, and this show, to me, is kind of the one of the pinnacle episodes before we get to the draft. Like, this is, we went through our position rankings. Now we're previewing our breakouts and busts and bounce backs and sleepers. And that's going to get us ready for the draft, I think.
Mm-hmm. We were talking before Mike joined us that we've got a couple of other important episodes that we have to hit. Sure. We're going to do the win-loss over-unders again. We're going to do the standings again. We're going to do MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, that and all of those awards. We're going to predict those things. Hey, by the way, I got Verlander as the Cy Young last year in the AL, correct? Yeah.
Nice.
Pulled that one off. There are more to come. We will recap all of those. But for today, along with us, Mike, you're having snow outside right now. Is that right?
It's a nice little mix of rain and snow right now, but I do have to say, I love doing this on a Saturday morning with you guys. I don't remember the last time we've ever done this, but this is
better than Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah. I mean, I am in fact enjoying the fact that we're going to get this done before the games even start. So I could probably watch a start of somebody in the middle of the snowstorm that we're going to have, I think. I don't know. Anyway, let's get this thing underway. We're going to start. I have it broken down by position, and each position has a sleeper, breakout, bust, and comeback. I believe that's how we structured this. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. All right, Jason, I'm going to start with you. We're going to talk about a sleeper at the catcher position. Who do you have this year going deep in the draft that's going to return pretty good value?
I'm going with this Angels kid, Logan O'Hop. I think that's how you say his name.
I'm hearing O'Hoppy, but okay.
Hop or Hoppy. Either way, he's just right around the corner, right? So we're hopping. I don't know much about this kid. He's on the Angels. It seems like he's going to get the lion's share behind the plate for the Angels. Is he good? I don't know, but he's a sleeper. And we talked about how this catcher position is always so kind of shallow. I feel like it's always kind of shallow. So a kid like this could be, you know, someone starting catcher for the year and could return good value. So I'm going with him.
He was the return for the Brandon Marsh trade in late last season. It looks like in 104 games at Double A last year, 283 average, 416 on base percent, 26 homers, 78 RBIs. I mean, the kid can tear the cover off a ball, and he's in the right lineup for that to be successful. Hitting what, behind Rendon, or even deeper into that lineup behind what, Renfro perhaps?
Yeah,
that's going to be a real nice pick if, in fact, he does go real late. Mike, what do you got at the sleeper position for catcher?
So as I was making this list probably about a week ago, I feel like things have even changed since then, because, you know, players are getting more notice. But a week ago, this was a great sleeper pick. Gabriel Moreno on the Diamondbacks. Mm. I'm just really excited what he can do at the forefront of, you know, the catcher position on that team. I don't think Carson Kelly offers a ton of competition at this point. And the Diamondbacks felt comfortable enough to give up Varsho for this kid. And I mean, his minor league numbers look good. And the small taste of what we got last year in the bigs was nice also. So Can't wait to see what he can do.
That's a great pick.
He's been a top prospect in the Blue Jays system for a few years now. And listen, he's going to be a real piece here. It does make me wonder exactly how much the Diamondbacks have given up on what they got back from the Goldschmidt trade a couple of years ago. So it just kind of stings when you look at it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, if this kid can get regular playing time over Carson Kelly, all day, could be a 20 homer dude. Mine's going to be Joey Bart. Like we haven't seen anything out of this kid. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Zero. So he's going for like free at the end of the draft. So if he's going to do anything, it's got to be this year. Otherwise, they're going to have to move on.
Right.
So yeah, I'm all in on Joey Bart in the last round. If in fact I don't get anybody in the draft.
And I think with Joey Bart, there's still no competition for him. Like,
right.
It's him or Roberto Perez. Like that's who they have on their 40-man roster. So. Yeah, he's gonna get the playing time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, I'm gonna come to you first here at a breakout. Who's gonna break out at this position?
It's the obvious choice. I'm sorry I'm taking him from you guys, but I gotta go Adley here.
I actually didn't have him.
Oh, okay.
I didn't either, but he's a great pick. He's a great pick, but I feel like he started that. He started that breakout already.
I think before we get too deep into the show, maybe we sort of distinguish what qualifies a breakout, right? And what qualifies as like a sleeper and what's the difference between those two? Because I feel like we've talked a lot about that off air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like what counts for each. As far as I'm concerned, like a sleeper to me is a dude who goes late in a draft or that people aren't thinking of, hence sleeping on somebody that will return pretty good value. It doesn't need to be
superstar.
It doesn't need to be superstar value, but if it's everyday lineup, you know, reliability, that to me is a sleeper. A breakout is a dude that you draft to be that becomes a star.
Yes.
And a bust is a star that produces at the level of the first guy.
Love that.
And the comeback is a dude who did one of those things or was injured and comes back to one of those areas. Congratulations. Yes. That's the definition.
Love that.
There we go.
This moment has been brought to you by cannabis. So, Jason, who do you have at the breakout position for catcher?
I have Tyler Stevenson here. I don't know how much he's going to play. He's been hurt a lot, but they're going to move him around the field a little bit between catcher and first base and DH. So it sounds like he's going to get reps, pretty consistently throughout the season. Playing in Cincinnati, obviously a great hitter's ballpark. Tyler Stevenson could bring back some good value. I don't have him high on my catcher rankings because he hasn't played much. But if he get a full season out of him could, bring back good value.
I have got a 25-year-old catcher who hit, he hit 20 homers last year in 97 games. And now he's going to be in a better ballpark. He's going to be in the center of a lineup. And he got traded this offseason. Guys, give me William Contreras on a 30-homer season. Give me William Contreras to hit like 275, 30 bombs, 80 RBIs. Like, this is a league winner. And the Braves just, like, accepted Sean Murphy as the answer. And that's fine. But, like, I think they really had the guy here. And they got too cute with this.
I agree. That's an awesome pick.
I guess the question is he a catcher long term? Like, or is he more of
I don't care. This year he's gonna break out as a catcher.
The Braves probably did. That's why they wanted Murphy.
So I guess that's fine. That's a logical argument. I can understand that. Maybe they need the catcher long term because Darnold is aging out. And if you're concerned that Contreras will eventually just be a DH. Okay, But like,
and of course, they traded their catcher of the future last year to get Matt Olson.
To go get Matt Olson, exactly. Okay, I can understand that. That at least explains why they did it. But I'm still down with William Contreras having a 30 homer season. Like,
yeah, I can see it.
Oh yeah,
give me that. Give me that.
Yeah.
All right, my bust this year, gentlemen. I'm going to have to say it again. It's Salvador Perez. I just don't find myself attracted to a guy post 30 who does not walk and is basically reliant on the long ball at this point. I'm out.
Well,
Jason, what do you have for the
bus? Jason's going to like that one.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go there. You took the words right out of my mouth. But I'm going to say Dalton Varsho here. And I think Varsho is going to have a good year. Don't get me wrong. But he's being drafted in Yahoo as the second catcher off the board in Yahoo. And I feel like that's a little high for a kid that we haven't really seen a tremendous season out of. So he's going ahead of guys like Perez, Will Smith, Rutschman, Contreras. Like, he's going ahead of all these guys. And the outfield eligibility obviously is great, but we don't know, you know, exactly what you're going to get from him on an offensive standpoint. So I just feel like people are drafting him really high and could be disappointed with him.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. It's not the best scenario, but he's going to be probably one of two catchers to steal 15 bases this year. And that alone, I think, will be a safe floor for where he's going. Aside, like, now homers and RBIs and things of that nature, like, that'll be the question after that. Mike, right. Who do you have at bust for catcher?
I have Sean Murphy here. And the reason why is because you know, looking at his stats from before 2022, there was nothing jumped off the page. There was a very low batting average, very low on base, high strikeout rate. In his contract year last year, in his walk year, he had a better season. And yes, he is moving to a better lineup, but there's also Travis d'Arnaud that still exists in Atlanta. And I don't necessarily see this guy playing every day. They have DH options as well in Atlanta. So I could definitely see those numbers coming down and regressing back to his norm, which, I mean, last year was, in my opinion, absolutely a ceiling and probably like even higher than a ceiling for him, like the or lower than a ceiling. Either way, he's my bust.
I don't know, man. It was pretty hard for me not to put him in my breakout spot because I felt like the move to Atlanta is a better lineup, a better ballpark. And yeah, I think he is going to play every day between DH and catcher because they have played d'Arnaud at first and can play Matt Olson at DH. I think their DH position is going to be really fluid because they're not committed to Marcell Ozuna anymore. Like, it's not really the kind of thing that they're going to, like, need to put that dude in the lineup. And if they do, they can play him in left. It's not like they owe Eddie Rosario anything, you know? So, I think there's a lot more fluidity in that lineup than you're giving it credit for. But I hear that he had a really good year in his walk year. So my more players than not I'm seeing – are going, okay, walk year, I play really well, and then I sign the big deal and don't play well.
Right.
So I want to see dudes like Brandon Nimmo, him, and maybe a couple of other guys have that good season again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm going to come to you again here. Who is your comeback player?
All right. My comeback, maybe I'm a little biased on this because I drafted him last year, but I'm going to go Yasmani Grandal.
I have the same guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we all do, right? I don't think that there's another catcher that, like, we could see having this kind of a bounce back year.
I guess Tyler Stevenson, the argument could be made for him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. But I have him as my breakout, so.
Yeah, sure.
Which, actually, I'm going to throw in another breakout real quick because there's breaking news that Kybert Ruiz has agreed to an 8-year extension with the Nationals.
Okay.
So I can see him now. He is their catcher of the future. He's not going
this
nowhere.
This is the first of the returns for the big pieces that they traded off to sign long term. This was the Scherzer deal. This was the centerpiece of the Scherzer deal with Josiah Gray, who has been not great, shall we say.
But so I could see him having, now that he's locked up, I could see him having a good year. I don't know that he's an all-star yet, but he's only 24, I think. So
yeah, he's very young.
Yeah.
All right, I will throw in Kybert Ruiz as a second breakout for you there, Jason. So, Jason, let's come to you. We're going to start with the first base position at sleeper. Who do you have?
So I have there's two here. Tristan Casas of the Red Sox. If he gets any kind of playing time, which I don't know what they're doing in Boston, but I think that this, I don't think the Red Sox are going to play for much, so let him play. The other guy I wanted to mention, as kind of a sleeper candidate, and I don't know what position he's going to play for them, but he has the eligibility, is Mike Moustakas, who just signed with the Rockies after the Brendan Rodgers injury. If he gets any kind of playing time here in Colorado, like, his power play is here. So I could see, if he gets playing time, I mean, maybe he's a bounce back candidate too. But I like him as a power option.
The Moose deal just screams Daniel Murphy, right? Like, it's ooh, we're gonna see Daniel Murphy in Colorado. Let's see what his power can do there. And
yeah, but Daniel Murphy was never a power hitter though. Like,
he hit 30 bombs in Washington, didn't he?
Once.
I mean,
but Moustakas is a power hitter. Like,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's much more power hitter than Daniel Murphy. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Daniel Murphy's career high was 25 in Washington. If Moustakas is healthy and plays regularly, like, I could see 30 bombs from him in Colorado. Why not?
And you know what? He could play first base. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, Mike, who's your sleeper at first base?
All right, it was Tristan Casas, but I'm going to throw another name out there. I'm going to throw a name that I drafted last year and he fell off the planet, but let's go Spencer Torkelson here. He has to be something, right? I mean, he was the number one overall pick and he had a bad first year, but who doesn't? And this kid could be something. Miguel Cabrera is on his way out. I could see him getting everyday playing time and I don't know. Hopefully he takes a step forward this year. That's all I'm kind of hoping for.
These are nice. These are cute. I'm going with Matt Mervis.
Thanks for thinking it's cute.
Aww. You know who Matt Mervis is?
He's playing on Team Israel right now.
Yeah, he is. He's a really big, burly first baseman for the Cubs organization who's blocked by Eric Hosmer. Do you think they're going to play Eric Hosmer too much that this kid's not going to get playing time somewhere around midseason? I do. And his power is going to play. Now, I haven't seen him very much in spring. I haven't watched a whole lot of Cubs games. I've been busy watching another team that we'll talk about in a moment. But if he gets regular playing time, if he balls out for Team Israel and hits like 4 bombs in the World Baseball Classic, like, cool, man. He might start opening day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. Jason, who's your breakout?
I'm going with Jose Miranda here from Minnesota. I like this kid. I liked him. I had him last year, and he had a nice first year. It wasn't great. But I think now with a full season, as long as he's healthy, which he's banged up a little bit, but if he's healthy – I can see him taking a good step forward.
All right. He probably is going to be the everyday first baseman for the Minnesota Twins, I'd imagine. Mike, who do you have as your breakout?
I've got the guy that the two of you did not respect and left off of your first base ranking show, Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah.
That's my breakout. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In a small sample size, obviously, like, you know, I still want to see more of it, but I think he's fully capable. And this guy walked more than he struck out last year, over 250 at bats and high average, high on base, some power. So I want to see what he can do hitting behind Salvador and Bobby Witt and whoever else in that lineup.
Yeah, he's doing his fourth, which I guess kind of tells you about the lineup.
Yeah, they really believe in him. He's going to be really good as long as he can stay healthy. I think that was the one concern coming in this year, was that he had some issues staying healthy in 2022. So let's see what he's capable of. My breakout this year, between two leagues in 2022 before hitting the majors, that's 76 games. It's about 275 bats. Hit 281 with almost a 400 on base percentage and a 500 slug, which is good for an 889 OPS. This is between AAA and AA. 23 doubles, 12 homers, 41 RBIs. He walked about as many times as he struck out. And now there's absolutely nothing stopping him from being the first baseman of the Boston Red Sox every single day. And guys, he looks like Freddie Freeman. Like, he just looks like Freddie Freeman, man. And it's one of those things where I watched this game the other day. I think he went 2 for 3 and had like a double, and it was a really nice performance. And I like this. This is one of those, what if Freddie Freeman came up as a Red Sox and had the pesky pole to hit at all of his career? All he's got to do is poke it down the right field line. I love it. I like what the Red Sox are putting together here, little bits at a time, where when it does come together, it might be a really formidable team if they could ever find some pitching.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. Yeah. I'm on board.
I'm going to follow up by saying that my bust candidate is probably one of the favorites from coming off of last year. The dude had 27 homers and like 90-ish RBIs and hit over 300, and the team got better around him. But like, I don't know if I could really see giving a fifth or sixth round pick on Nathaniel Lowe and it paying off.
He was my bust.
Yeah, I just don't know that that's going to work.
He was my bust for all the same reasons. I think he's just being drafted a bit too high. This is a guy that was literally like just jumping from team to team as a free agent last year in the bigs. Mm-hmm. And he was good, but fifth round? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason, who do you have at the bust?
I'm surprised that Mike doesn't have this guy, Matt Olson.
I thought it was too obvious.
Yeah, well, it kind of is, but I'm going with it because he's going right now as the fifth first baseman off the board in Yahoo with an average draft pick of 43. So what's that, like third round in the bigs? Mm-hmm. That's pretty aggressive for a guy who strikes out a ton.
Yep.
And just was decent last year. Like I would take like Nathaniel Lowe or, you know, Ty France over this guy. So yeah, I'm kind of out on Matt Olson.
Yeah. Ew, Ty France over Matt Olson. I don't like that one particularly. Listen, Olson was a victim of the shift, so I'm going to at least give him 1 year to bounce back from that before I start checking out on this guy. He also hits the ball stupid hard, so I'm not going to give up on that either. Far better than Nathaniel Lowe. But yes, I agree. The strikeouts are awful. Strikeouts are awful. Who is your comeback candidate, Mike Haber?
My comeback candidate is Jose Abreu.
Wow. Hit 300.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad year, but he didn't have a Jose Abreu year. So I could see him returning to like the production of 30-100 hitting in that Houston lineup.
Okay. Mike Haber is going back to the when he was underrated at 30 and 100.
Yep.
Every year. All right. Jason, Who's your comeback candidate?
A guy that I rostered for, or I traded for last year and got swindled because he ended up being hurt and terrible the whole rest of the year. Jared Walsh. If he's back to being healthy, I mean, his projected hit 7th in this lineup. So like he's behind all these guys ahead of him. He's not the dude I think they were trying to groom him to be, going into last year. Now, so like there's no pressure for him. I think as long as he's healthy and playing, I don't see why he can't return to some sort of form. Maybe not the 2021 that we saw from him, but something in between.
Guys, my comeback hit 239 last season with less than a 320 on base, but had 18 homers and 63 RBIs. And he's dealt with a lot late in the last few years between the COVID season and his cancer diagnosis. And I'm just really rooting for a comeback from Trey Mancini that we get let's take a look at the 21 season and see and as something to strive for. 255, 325 on base, 21 homers, 71 RBIs in a full season. Like, let's just get there say, you know what? Like, let's see something good out of Trey, because he was really bad in Houston of all places, which I don't think we would have, like, if he was going to get traded from Baltimore, the landing spot of Houston was pretty sweet. And in 165 at bats, he hit 176. Yeesh, doesn't look good. So before the trade, 268, 350 on base percentage.
Yeah.
He was on pace for a good year.
Yeah.
Let's see it in Chicago this year.
I like it.
We're going to go to second base here. Jason, who's the sleeper at second base?
I'm going here with Luis Garcia from the Nationals. Another team that's not playing for anything. But this kid, he had a decent debut last year. I think he strikes out like a lot, but like, and there's obviously lots of Luis Garcias in the league. But this one, he's the youngest. He's only 22. He's 22 years old. He had 7 home runs last year in 360 at bats. So like, he could be a nice little player. He's going to get everyday playing time for the Nationals. They're up and coming. He's somebody I'm keeping an eye on for sure.
Okay. Luis Garcia getting everyday playing time in Washington sounds like a definite sleeper if he returns, top 15 value at the position? Like, all he's got to do is be a starter every day, and he's a sleeper.
Exactly.
Mike.
And again, Mike, 22, so.
Oh, yeah, young enough.
I've got Nolan Gorman at second base. It's my sleeper. I think he could have a fun sophomore year here. You're gonna see a bunch of Cardinals on my list, just coming from all different positions here. But definitely second base. If he gets regular playing time in that lineup, I could see him really succeeding. And he doesn't have to be the guy, but he can be a guy in that lineup who scores a lot of runs and gets on base and does a little bit of everything. So I like him.
That was my one concern with him, was the playing time,
But all he has,
there's just so many mouths to feed between him, Brendan Donovan, all 5 outfielders, Jordan Walker coming up. Like, I feel like there's a trade coming. It just feels like there's a trade coming. There's too many young dudes and not enough positions to make it happen.
True. Well, I know they've been trying to unload Paul DeJong, but that hasn't really come to fruition yet.
I mean, would you take on Paul DeJong's contract?
I mean, I see like the Rockies doing something shitty like that.
Yuck. All right. My sleeper last year at age 22 came up for a cup of coffee at the end of the season, but in AAA scored 100 runs, had 16 steals, 17 homers, walked 14% of the time, struck out 14.5% of the time, and hit 304 with a 400-plus on-base percentage. And he's going to be the everyday starting second baseman for a team that won 111 games last year. Go ahead and give me Miguel Vargas as my sleeper this year, guys. That kid has also got first base eligibility, for what that's worth. But like the Dodgers are going with a youth movement. Are we going to sit here and be pretentious that the Dodgers don't know what they're doing? I'm sorry.
No, I like the kids. I like the kids.
That's a good organization.
It's a good pick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great pick.
Thank you. For the breakout, I'm going to pick the guy in the video game, Jazz Chisholm. He's going to stay healthy 1 year, and he's going to have like 35 bombs and 30 steals. He's going to be amazing for 1 year when he's healthy. And maybe it's this year, or maybe it's not. But I'll keep picking him until it happens. Mike, who do you have as your breakout?
I've got Vaughn Grissom as my breakout.
Gross.
Sorry, Mets. Sorry, Mets fans.
No, I had him too.
Oh, you had him too?
Ew.
Yeah.
Sorry, oh, but
yeah.
He had a we had a nice little taste of him last year, and I think this is his time. Time to run away with it.
Oh, I don't want that to be a thing.
I don't either, but
he doesn't hit the ball hard at all. God. Like 29th percentile in max exit velocity.
He's gonna get shortstop eligibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. he's gonna have both middle infield positions. He can run, he can hit for average. I don't know. I just kinda like him like under the radar dropping. I mean, there are definitely 16 second basemen that are ahead of him in the draft.
Although I could hear the argument that because he plays in Atlanta and he's got dual eligibility, that like you would make him the 15th guy. You know, I could hear that.
Could be. Yeah.
Jason, who's your break? Oh, you said Vaughn Grissom was yours as well, right?
Yeah, and I really can't find a like somebody that I would pay for somebody, you know, a replacement. I mean, maybe Isaac Paredes if he gets playing time, but I don't know if that's a thing. I'm gonna stick with Vaughn Grissom.
Okay, well then let's transition here. Who is your bust candidate, Jason?
My bust, I'm going with Marcus Semien here. I don't think he's necessarily have a bad year, you know. But again, he's going as a second baseman off the board in Yahoo, 31th average draft pick. I don't know. He has been all over the place with what we've seen out of him. He's had great years. He's had bad years. He's had in between years. I don't know what we're gonna get from him. He could have another, you know, fantastic year, but I just feel like there's a chance where he's just going to have another, you know, a 260 with 25 home runs and like, which is okay, but that's not what you're paying for as a second baseman off the board.
He plays every single day.
He does. He absolutely does.
That is, if he gets hurt this year, he's a bust. Like, you're banking on him playing every single day. So the minute that happens, you've already won this thing. That being said, I think he's pretty safe for 100 runs in that lineup. I think he's going to be safe for 25 homers in that lineup. And I don't know that. What's he going? Fourth round?
Maybe even earlier. Definitely.
He's going. His ADP is 31 right now. So he's going.
Wow. He's going back in the second round in the big.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That does scream that. Mike, who was your bust?
I'm sure his eligibility is nice, but yeah.
Yeah, but in second round, that's rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got?
I'm gonna go Brandon Lowe. Brandon Lau.
That's just a surprise.
As your bust, huh?
As a bust, you guys know I don't like this guy, and you know I don't draft Tampa Bay hitters usually. And he's being ranked ahead of certain guys that I feel like can have much better seasons. He's ranked ahead of the NL batting champ last year. He's ranked ahead of the Diamondback second baseman, our breakout player. So, you know, there are so many second basemen that I would just prefer to wait for rather than drafting this guy in the, I don't know, sixth round or wherever he's going, sixth, seventh round. So I'm probably out on him. I don't believe that a big bounce back is coming.
I don't think he's going to be going sixth, seventh round. Like, I wouldn't touch him in the sixth or seventh round. And
he's going right now. He's going 153 overall, yeah, which is like the middle of the ninth round.
Okay. I probably wouldn't get him there either, though.
No, I probably wouldn't either unless I've completely missed out on second base. And doesn't he have an outfield eligibility, or is that no longer a thing?
He does not.
I don't think that's no longer a thing. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's just second base.
All right. So, guys, my bus candidate is one of those guys. You're going to hear the name. And, you know, this is the particular spot where I always like to call my shot. You know, I called Jose Abreu taking a step back after the 2020 season. He did. I called Yasmani Grandal after the 2021 season. He did. So I'm going to go ahead and call my shot here. Hi, Frank Bucco. Ozzie Albies for the bust this year at second base. Now, listen, he was really hurt last year, and you guys might even have him on the comeback.
Yep.
And sure, if you're going to say that he's on the comeback from hitting 247 with eight homers in 64 games, congratulations. If he plays 100 games, you win. Great. But here's my point. You're probably drafting that guy because you're expecting 30 homers and 20 steals, right? Like, you saw it in 2021 and you're like, that those were really nice round numbers. And maybe the 100 RBIs isn't real, but the 100 runs sure would be, right? You're buying all of those things with a 310 on base percentage. That doesn't add up.
No.
If he's only getting on base 31% of it, no, you're not going to get that. And if he only hits 18 homers and only steals 15 bases, all of a sudden he's no better than what? Gene Segura? No, I'm out. I'm out on Ozzie Albies this year. No, thank you.
Wow. All right.
Comeback player candidate. Mine's going to be Whit Merrifield. Did I get anybody's?
No, that's a good pick.
Whit Merrifield was a fourth round pick just like a year ago, and everybody was all happy about Whit. You're going to get him in like the 18th round this year. Him, Santiago Espinal for like, and Kevin Kiermaier for center field, second base, platoon with a DH maybe. If he steals you 20 bases in the late rounds, you'll be happy with it. I don't know that that's a thing, and I think he's going to age like Charlie Blackman, which is to say he's going to age like milk, but like maybe there's one more good, like maybe you can make one more omelet out of this. Jason, who's your bust candidate, or I'm sorry, your comeback candidate?
My comeback candidate is Mike's bust candidate. I'm going with Brandon Lau. He was hurt last year with a back injury, which can always be tricky for a hitter, especially a power hitter like Brandon Lau. If he's healthy now, he's due to hit right smack in the middle of that lineup. I know they have a lot of pieces to move around, but I feel like he's safe for as long as he's healthy for everyday playing time. So I'm going with Brandon Lau. I like the power out of that second base position that he provides.
All right.
You can have him.
If I can get him in the 10th round, I'll be okay with that.
10th round sounds about fair, especially if you might be able to get an outfield spot out of that too. Like if there's a way he plays right once in a while enough to get you that spot, it might be worth it. Yeah. Mike, who's your comeback player?
Well, now that you talked me out of Ozzie Albies,
you're welcome.
I'm going to, why don't we throw DJ LeMahieu's name into the mix here? I know you don't like him, Jason.
I don't like it. You know what I mean? Like,
he was definitely injured playing through injuries last season for sure. It took away from a lot of what he did the year before. Like, yes, he had career numbers the year before, right? And he's not going to get close to that. But well, he offers you three. What?
That's my question, though, is like, what's he bouncing back to?
He's bound. So this is my argument here, is that he offers you three position eligible. He could potentially become the Yankees' everyday leadoff hitter if they get over the fact that Josh Donaldson's a person. And Gleyber Torres needs to hit fifth, not leadoff. But if he can get that leadoff spot back, then he is hitting in front of Judge, Rizzo, and Stanton, and he offers you three positions of eligibility. There won't be a ton of power. There won't be a ton of RBIs, but he can score 100 runs if he's hitting leadoff in that lineup.
That's the answer right there, is the 100 runs. Like, you're gonna buy into the fact that he's going to bounce back and hit closer to 300 than he did 250 the last 2 years. He's going to get you 100 runs. He's going to get you good, like, walk and strikeout ratio is going to be good. Mm-hmm. His on-base percentage is going to be fantastic. And the Yankees are going to win 95 games. He's going to be the catalyst for it. If you can play him as your third baseman every day and you don't have to, like, spend up to go get one of the first six dudes off the board there, then, yeah, I think he might be able to come back and be that. If you are buying that he could somehow do 26 homers on 102 RBIs like he did in 19, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, that's not All
right, let's move over to that dreaded third base position. And this is where we need to find value, because this is a really shallow position. I've talked about it off air and with Ben here at home, that it's like an exploding volcano and there are six helicopters. And then after the six helicopters, there's like a parachute and a couple of rocks that might be safe along the way. And that's it. Like, it is bad, man. It is landmines and a terrible Dante's Peak action scene. So let's start at sleeper. Jason Ashby, who is your sleeper at third base?
I think he qualifies as a sleeper. He was my very last third baseman on the third base ranking show. I'm going with Josh Jung here from the Rangers. He's due to be their third baseman. He was hurt last year. He was supposed to be the third baseman last year, and he couldn't make it into the lineup. But now he's healthy, and he's going to play access to that lineup. I can see, you know, bringing back top 20, you know, value if he's healthy all year and can be productive. I'm going with Josh Jung here.
All right, Mike, who do you have as your sleeper?
Oh, as of right now, I mean, he in Yahoo qualifies as a third baseman, but I don't think he's going to play this position. I'm going Jordan Walker here.
Yeah, I knew you would. Yeah, yep. He's going to be an outfielder for the Cardinals, and you had mentioned earlier that we're going to hear a lot of Cardinals, and I was mm-hmm. just like, yeah, he's going to take Jordan Walker.
Yep.
It's the top prospect coming up this year.
Yeah, and he's still not being drafted very high at the moment. So mm-hmm. now's the time.
That's one of the rocks that might be safe. But look, like, there's a non-0% chance Jordan Walker comes up and hits 225 with like bad on base skills and makes a couple errors and is back down in, you know, May. So
correct.
It could be a landmine. So
yeah.
If that's your starting option at third base, it's not great.
No. Man. And that's why he's definitely a sleeper, but not breakout candidate for me.
Right. Now, if he is playing, he is going to get another position of eligibility. What that yes. position is, who knows?
For what it's worth, Yahoo is putting him as the second right fielder on their depth chart.
Okay.
There you go.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Can I take a moment to wax poetic about my breakout at third base?
Did you?
Who was your sleeper?
Yeah.
Oh, my sleeper was also Jordan Walker.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then yeah.
Let me go ahead and wax poetic about this. 93rd percentile in average exit velocity, 95th percentile in max exit velocity, 91st percentile in hard hit percentage, 96th percentile in walk percentage, 98th percentile in strikeout percentage, 97th percentile in chase rate. You're not getting him to go outside the zone. 96th percentile in whiff percentage, 94% in ex-woba, 97th percentile in expected batting average. Is this guy going to do good this year? This guy is good. All he has to do is change his launch angle this much. And Yandy Diaz goes from 9 homers to 29 homers. This is my new Franmil Reyes, is what this has become. Like, if he changes the launch angle, this is Franmil Reyes with walks, like a lot of them, and no strikeouts. Just, he crushes the ball, guys. He's just pounding it into the sand. Like, you look at his spray chart for 2022's hits, there are just a huge glom of singles in the infield, like around the second base bag, that he was just crushing the ball up the middle and they'd get through. And then there's a whole lot of doubles spread out all over the field. And Tropicana Park isn't going to, or Tropicana Field isn't going to help him ever. It's not a good hitter's park. So all of his away games are where he's going to need to succeed power-wise. But man, there's 25 homer upside in this bat. I swear to you there is. I swear to you there is. This is Pablo Lopez, Franmil Reyes, Yandy Diaz territory. Like, that's where we're at with this guy.
Okay. All right. I like it.
I for me, until I see him hit more than 10 home runs in a season, I
know.
I don't feel comfortable drafting for this.
And but, like, he's been so snake bit, man. He came into spring with like this hip thing, and then he came back from that, and literally the first game he got beamed in the hand. So like, he's got a bruise, nothing's broken, he's fine. But just let me see the boy. Like, he's got these arms that are just
He does have arms. You're right. He does have arms.
He's got Tyler O'Neill arms, is what I'm saying. He's got Tyler O'Neill arms.
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I know. We're probably going to talk about him later, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who's your breakout, Mike?
At third base, my breakout is Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson. Did I say that? Yes. Yeah, Gunnar Henderson.
You did.
Yeah. Hitting in the middle of that Orioles lineup, he's got a full season. The position is his. He's dual position eligible. I think he's set up for a ton of success, and you could still draft him at a pretty decent value right now, which I don't think will be the case next year. So he can do something.
Yeah, he's the parachute after the six helicopters that get off the volcano is what I've explained. Like, that's the parachute. He's the safe guy that is going to have plenty of playing time, is the top prospect. Like, everything looks safe about it. Just got to make sure it's packed right. Otherwise, you could end up back in the minors and you could be fucked.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Jason, what do you got for your breakout?
I was Alec Baum from the Phillies. Okay. I don't particularly like him, maybe because there's a rival bias here, but full season out of him, he's only 26. Maybe he takes a step forward this year. That's a great lineup, obviously. Great ballpark for him. So, yeah, I mean, he last year wasn't terrible. 13 home runs, a .280 average, .315 on base, not great. But again, maybe he takes a step forward and can bring back at least a little bit of better value.
Okay. Alec Baum. I mean, look, his team went to the World Series last year. Like, they're counting on him to be a good part of this team going forward. So I believe in the role. I believe in the guy, kind of. So, yeah, I could see a 20-homer season. Sure.
Yeah.
He did add 5 to 10 pounds of muscle over the winter.
Best shape of his life alert. Best shape of his life alert. Best shape of his life. Mike, who's your bus candidate this year, dude?
My bus candidate is probably your bus candidate, but I'm going to go Bobby Witt Jr. here.
It is not.
It's not.
No.
All right. Well, it's not that I don't think he's a good player, because I do. And I owned him last year, but I'm not going to spend a first round or early second round draft pick on this player who struck out 100 more times than he walked, and his on-base percentage was less than 300, like 19 errors. I'm not spending a first round pick on that. So
yeah, the argument against it is, yeah, the argument against, you have him as well, Jason.
Yeah.
Okay. So the argument against him being a bust is, well, this is their Tatis, Acuna. This is their athlete franchise player, right?
Yes.
So this could be the last time you get him outside the first round for a few years, potentially. That's the only argument I have against it.
Okay.
I said the same thing of Vlad Guerrero. It happened. I said the same thing of Bo Bichette. It happened. I said the same thing of Wander Franco. It didn't.
Yeah. All right.
My bust candidate. So remember I said something about those six helicopters that'll safely get you off the what if one of them's out of gas? Or what if one of them has a bad engine? Or one of them propeller is broken? What if this guy is in the 29th percentile in walk percentage, 11th percentile in chase rate, 26th percentile in whiff percentage, doesn't run well, plays in a favorable home ballpark, and had an okay season last year, got a really big contract, but plays on a team that's not going to be as good? Guys, I'm calling Rafi Devers my bust this year. And I think this is one of those situations where I talked about earlier, where we see a really great season and then he gets paid and then he drops off for a year. Chris Bryant's a great example of this. Here might be the next guy. I'm not suggesting that there's any kind of like formula to figure out who it is, but if it's going to be somebody, I think it might be this guy this year.
Okay.
So let's go with Devers. Comeback player of the year candidate is Anthony Rendon for me. I'm like above.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't think that there's really much of an argument.
Yeah, and if he succeeds, this all of a sudden this narrative of like third base being this volcano could have just really been a mountain with a bunch of pathways, so long as you chose the right path. You know? So
I love your metaphors.
This has been brought to you by cannabis. Rendon's going to hit, what, fourth behind Otani and Trout and Taylor Ward? Okay.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah. Yeah. If he's in there, he's as good as it gets.
Yep. Just stay healthy. All right.
Yeah.
Shortstop sleepers, gentlemen. Jason, let's talk about yours.
I already talked about his double play teammate. I'm going with C.J. Abrams. Pretty much the same reason that I said Luis Garcia. He's a guy that nobody's gonna think about because he's on the shitty Nationals team, but I mean, this was the return in the Juan Soto deal. So like, he's gonna play. He's young. He's athletic. Give him a shot. See what he can do.
All right,
Jason, another loves young the kid Nationals for Juan.
Yeah, it's weird. They're not. They might not be good, man.
No, they're not gonna be good. They're not gonna be good at all. But I think the team's not gonna be good because they got no pitching. But I think some of these individual guys can have, you know, at least decent seasons, decent enough offensive to warrant a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Mike, who do you have as your sleeper?
I've got Anthony Volpe as my sleeper.
What are you? Okay, nice. Mike Haber, this is the moment I have to ask you this. I almost cut you off when you were talking about DJ LeMahieu, but I think now is the time for us to talk about.
Okay.
Who is the Yankees starting shortstop on opening day?
Who do I think it's going to be? Who want it?
Like, seriously, man, what's happening here? What's going on with your team?
It's Volpe and Peraza fighting it out, but also IKF is there. If for whatever reason, both of these young guys flail out, but I think that the organization at this point is leaning towards one of those young kids with IKF being just a bench bat.
Hmm. And then your third base and second base situation between DJ, Donaldson, and Glaber.
Glaber is probably set at second base.
Okay.
And then if it were up to me, it would be DJ at third. But it's really just a matter of, I mean, maybe Donaldson plays third and DJ DH is the first on opening day and Stanton plays the outfield. I don't know what the call is here, but with Bader being hurt, I think it gives more of an opportunity for Stanton to probably play the outfield on opening day.
Doesn't that mean you're playing Aaron Hicks and or no, you're playing Judge and center?
Could play Judge in center, but you could also play Oswaldo Cabrera in center and Judge in right. So, but I think Volpe's got as good of a shot. I mean, he is a little younger, and the whole service time manipulation thing still exists.
Are we sure you're gonna win the East?
No.
Okay.
We've got a whole lineup on the IL right now. So
yeah, man. Like, ooh,
I know.
Because I've been thinking about this as each injury keeps popping up, and here comes Rodon, and there goes Montas, and like
Bader,
and didn't somebody like there was a fourth Canely
and Lou Trevino. Yeah.
What is the deal with Yankee injuries? What is the deal with the training staff there? It's every season we're seeing this now, and it's not stopping.
Yeah.
There's something wrong here. Volpe as a sleeper, though, you're expecting him to A, be healthy, B, successful, and C, in the lineup?
If he is, then yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is my sleeper.
Are you expecting him to be at this moment on March 11th?
I'm not necessarily expecting him to be up and starting on March 30th, but I'm expecting him to get a really nice chunk of playing time this season in the bigs.
Over or under 99 games?
That's a really good question.
I'll come back to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll come back to you on it.
Come back to me.
Jason. Oh, wait, my sleeper. My sleeper is a guy, we're going to go ahead and talk again about a 92 percentile in X slug and 96 percentile max exit velocity. And everybody saw this dude's off season and went, oh man, there's no way I'm getting in on him because the Giants backed out and the Mets backed out. And he finally went and got his bag from Minnesota. But like, what about his foot, man? I'm in. In that low. What's his ADP right now, Jason? Help me out.
111.
Yeah, I'm in past 100. I am in past 100 on Carlos Correa. If you're going to tell me that I can get a 290 batting average and a 350 on base percentage, like, is that real?
I was really surprised to see that his ADP was that low. Like,
yeah, man. That's why I think people are sleeping on him, because they're afraid of the injury. They're like laughing at him because of the offseason. Mike Haber's rolling his eyes about it. But I'm in on Correa, man.
I am too.
I'm rolling my eyes because I can't get over our shortstop ranking show where Jason had him second overall as the second best shortstop in baseball, and I still can't get over it.
No, that is ridiculous. But 111th overall is egregiously low, and I'll be in on that. All right, we're going to the breakouts. This is what I think is going to be the most interesting spot in this particular position is a breakout, because there's a lot of young shortstops, a lot of young opportunities here. Mike Haber, I'll go back to you first. You can't also take Anthony Volpe, so go ahead.
Okay, deal. I got to go O'Neal Cruz here. I think he's got the tools to put it all together. And he had his bumps and bruises in his first season, and he wasn't all that great. He struck out a crap ton, but you know, the power is real. He's got speed too, and he only played in half a season last year, and he still racked up 17 home runs, 54 RBIs, and 10 steals. Like, I just want to see what this kid can do in a full season. And he could be a 25-25 or 30-25 threat.
Dude, he broke StatCast last year. Like, he is the 100 percentile of max exit velocity. He broke it. And he's 98 percentile in sprint speed. So, yeah, what can he do? He could be 30-30 if he plays a full season. My questions will be whether or not he can hit 240.
Correct.
And whether or not he could keep his strikeout rate under 30%. If you're going to tell me he can keep it under 30%, I am all over it. Jason, what's his ADP? Please help me.
His ADP right now is 80.
Okay, so you're telling me Carlos Correa is going 30 picks after this kid? Uh-huh. That's why Carlos Correa is a sleeper. Because if you're going to pay the 80, you might get a first rounder next year. You might. But you also might get a minor leaguer by Mother's Day. So it's a very wide gap of what you've got.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was also my breakout, by the way. Jason?
Breakout. I have Gunnar Henderson here. He has eligibility at both. We already talked about him, so we can move forward.
All right. All right. So then I'll go to you for your first bust candidate at shortstop.
I'm going Tim Anderson. He's going higher than Cruz. He's going higher than Correa. And going higher than Gunnar Henderson. And he's going 75 right now, ADP. He doesn't bring anything special to the table. He has decent batting average and, you know, like, and on base, I guess, but like, I don't know. He's a health risk. Not crazy about the White Sox this year. So yeah, I'm kind of out on Tim Anderson. I was never really in on him to begin with. So
Tim Anderson. All right. Mr. Haber, what do you got for your bust candidate?
Oh, I gotta go Dansby here. Gotta go Dansby.
Yeah, you do.
After last season. Oh, you're there also?
I am also in on Dansby for a bust.
Yeah. Just where he's being drafted. And this is the classic story of this dude outperformed all of his norms in a contract year. And now he's going to a worse team. This guy strikes out more than strikes out a lot. I was going to make a really bad, gross joke. And I don't see him replicating these numbers or even getting close to them. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't necessarily see it in Chicago.
No, you're not wrong. He moved to a worse lineup. He moved to a worse ballpark. He doesn't hit the ball particularly hard. His average exit velocity is 73rd percentile. His max exit is 57th percentile. Like, he's not crushing the ball. I think what we saw in 2022 was 99 percentile of what he can be. 25 homers, 96 RBIs, 99 runs scored, 18 steals. He's not going 25-20. He's just not. Is the 277 batting average real? I don't know.
I don't know either, but the strikeouts
It only came with a 330 on base percentage because he walked so few times and struck out 182 times. It's not a great profile. And right. If you're going to tell me he's going to the NL Central and, yeah, he's going to play in Cincinnati once in a while, sure. But he's also playing 81 home games at Wrigley, which can be a hitter's park, but by and large is a pitcher's park. All right. To the comeback player. Jason, let's start with you again.
I have two guys here because I think one's kind of obvious. Tatis, right, I think is right. Like the obvious guy. But I'm also going to pick on Mondesi here. You know, he's getting a fresh start in Boston. I don't know how much he's going to play. I know he's still, you know, he's still on the injured list, so to speak. But if he can, you know, shake it out and be in the lineup by end of April and maybe play mostly a full season, we've seen what this kid can do when he's healthy. So Red Sox, you know, could be giving him a shot. Why not? Why not? I mean, even if he's not, you know, what we thought he was going to be when he was that dynamic player, even if he's, you know, a 2015 guy or something like that, I don't know. But, like, there's still some stuff to like about him, I think, enough if he's getting enough playing time, enough to like about him to at least warrant a roster spot.
All right. That is Adalberto Mondesi. Mike, who do you have as your comeback player this year?
Well, Jason and I seem to be sort of the opposite of each other in this show here. Mm-hmm. his comeback was Brandon Lau, and that was my bust. So I'm going to have to go ahead and say Tim Anderson is my bounce back here.
Injury last year.
This is a batting champ. This is a guy that can hit 15 home runs and steal 20 bases. And if he's healthy and hits leadoff every day, he can score 100 runs as well. Obviously, the key is his health, and that's really all we're banking on here. But I love him for a bounce back this year.
You know, he's going to have to step up this year, particularly, especially with the absence of Jose Abreu and the reliance on guys like Andrew Vaughn, Eloy Jimenez, and Luis Robert to drive in runs. Because if they have to replace him again, and they don't get the production that they got out of Elvis Andrews in his absence last year. Like, go look at Elvis Andrews' numbers and tell me why he couldn't be a productive second base sleeper. But I digress.
True.
Tim Anderson's got to go back to being the batting champion. The problem I have with him is that he doesn't walk either. Like, his batting average carries his on-base percentage so much. So,
yeah.
No. My comeback player... I'm going to go ahead and wax poetic about another one of my favorites. From opening day until May the 9th, which is just over a month, he hit 325 with a 349 on, I'm sorry, a 331 with a 355 on base percentage and an 880 OPS. He was well on his way to exactly what I thought was going to be a breakout monumental second round pick last year. And then a quad injury happened and we started to see the average start to dip, and it got all the way back down into the 260s when he got hurt and was out with that and had to be taken, went on the DL or the IL for that quad injury. And I don't think he was ever right again, because he came back in June, in late June, and then played through July, only to be taken out with a hamate bone injury. And we know that saps power and it destroys a career. Or it destroys a season, not a career, but it destroys a season. Matt Olson has had a nice career after it. He finishes the season, Wander Franco does, still in the 85th percentile of max exit velocity, the 96th percentile in expected batting average, and 99th percentile in strikeout percentage, 98th percentile whiff percentage. Give me the bounce back, man. Give me the discount. Where's he going? What's his ADP, Jason? Help me out.
Wander Franco is going 97.
All right, so he's between O'Neill Cruz and Carlos Correa.
Correct.
I like it. He's just sort of hidden there. Will conclude our shortstops. I'm only going to go one outfield for the sake of time. So just one outfielder, sleeper, breakout, and bust. Mike Haber, we'll start with you on the sleeper.
All right. I got to pick between my left, center, and right here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Garrett Mitchell.
The
everyday center fielder on the Brewers.
Brewers, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a nice power speed combo. He's had a really nice spring as well. Not that that necessarily means anything, but it could be indicative of, you know, everyday playing time and hopefully him moving up in the lineup. I don't think Yelich is giving up the leadoff spot anytime soon, but if they could move Yelich to like a two or a three, then I feel like Garrett Mitchell could be a fun leadoff hitter. And he's being drafted. What's his ADP now? I think is it still over 200 or under 200?
Garrett Mitchell? It might be moving up just because of the hot spring he's having. He did have that two homer game, I think.
Yeah.
Garrett Mitchell right now is at 225.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's still outside the top 200. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. He also has a hamstring injury. Ooh, not great. Not great.
He's not headed for an MRI, so I guess he's okay, but something to look for.
Okay.
All right. So my sleeper outfield.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm going to go, I'm going to go with, this could be a bounce back. I don't know what, where he fits, but Jarrett Kelenic is having a really good spring right now.
Are we going to do this again?
Yeah, we're going to do this again. One more time. Because he's at least part of a platoon right now with AJ Pollock. So like right now, he still is going to have some playing time. He's playing really well in the spring. He is still Jarrett Kelenic. Like, he's still young. He's not, you know, it's not like we're talking about, like, you know, a 30-year-old that hasn't found it. Like, so maybe there's still a chance. I feel like this is probably the last chance. So that's why I'm kind of considering him a sleeper. I think he's also kind of going, you know, kind of far down in the ADP. He's not even on the first page of the ADP. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he's somewhere around 200 or later at this point.
Yeah, 241.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost 250. Like he's pretty much free, which is good, but I don't know if he's good. And he struck out so much, man. Like he is a,
I know.
Whew.
He is a late draft dart throw that if it pays off, great. If not, you drop him.
Yeah.
Well, mine is on a better team. Mine actually did it at the majors for a period of time. Mine hit 13 home runs last year and is the reason that Cody Bellinger is no longer in Los Angeles. Yo, give me Clay Thompson's little brother Trace right here. Give me this dude to have a real season. Somebody's got to play the outfield for them. Is it going to be James Outman? Is it going to be David Peralta? Or is it going to be this guy? Give me this dude. He's been playing for a while. Like, he's not just some young kid. He's 20, what, 26, 27? 31? Let's go 31.
Oh.
So, like, he's fully grown man. 256 batting average in 219 at-bats last year. 13 homers, 39 RBIs. The strikeout rate isn't great, but the on-base percentage is 360. Listen, the Dodgers, you have to trust the Dodgers at this point. Miguel Vargas, this dude, James Outman, I don't know. There's going to be like one more guy. You know it. You know one of the kids on their rotation is going to be good, whether it's Michael Grove or Ryan Pepio or whoever else. Noah Syndergaard could be a real big bounce back candidate if you really wanted to squint hard enough. The Dodgers are going to be good. It's just a matter of who's it going to be this year. So you got to familiarize yourself with this. Who's your breakout candidate, Mike Haber?
Oh, it's Tyler O'Neill. It's got to be Tyler O'Neill.
We're doing this again.
We are doing this again. You knew he was going to come back.
I know.
So going into the 2022 season, he was ranked as my number one left fielder going into it. It was like him and Brian Reynolds, I think, were at the top, 1-2. Mm-hmm. And he had a down year because he was injured. He only got 334 at-bats last year. His average dipped, his on-base percentage dipped, everything dipped. And he was obviously playing injured. But he's capable of 30 home runs. He's capable of 15 to 20 steals. He's in a very productive lineup that got better with Wilson Contreras as an addition. I love him this year, and I think he's gonna break out in a big way.
He would win the largest arms in the majors contest, bar none. My concern is between him, Yepes, Gorman. Who else do we got there? Walker, Carlson. How many mouths are there to feed? I need to know who the starters are. I don't think they're not going to start this kid.
Yes.
But he strikes out a lot. A whole lot.
He does, and that's something he needs to cut down. But in 2021, he struck out a bunch and still hit over 280, getting on base at a 350 clip. Like,
yeah. And he's still in a down year, went 14-14.
Yeah.
In 396 games. He played 96 games and went 14-14. Like, that's...
And if he's hitting second in this lineup, in front of Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Contreras, like he's almost guaranteed for 100 runs.
You think they'd put four righties in a row like that?
Well, who do they have as a lefty bat?
That's a good question. It's a great question. I don't have the answer.
I think it's Lars Nootbaar.
There you go.
It is Lars Nootbaar.
But you're not Tommy playing him.
Tommy Edmonds is a switch hitter.
Yeah.
Listen, he's another mouth to feed. And he was good last year when he played in Tyler O'Neill's stead.
Yeah.
He kind of stepped into Tyler O'Neill's role and succeeded better than Tyler O'Neill. So there's definitely that mouth to feed on top of it.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are – there's a lot of good dudes there. I kind of feel like there needs to be a trade between the Cardinals and the Yankees again to, like, move some of this stuff.
I would love that. I would love that.
All right, Jason, who is your breakout?
Lars Nootbaar was definitely one of them, but I'm going to hit on Taylor Ward, who is due to hit on top of Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and Anthony Rendon. Why can't he score 100 runs?
He can.
So, I'll take that.
Absolutely. Mine's going to be a guy that you're probably going to draft him in like the 7th, 8th round this year. And he could return first round value. He's going to hit at the top of a lineup that we all like, that we all seem to believe that are on the come. It's the baby snakes. Let's get Corbin Carroll talked about here. Yep. He's the 100% sprint speed guy. He could be 30-30 and on a team that like could be respectable by season's end. And if he does that and the team is getting better around him, yeah, I could see him being bare minimum a second rounder if he returns what we think he could be.
Yeah,
I like that.
All right. Who is the big bust candidate this year, boys? Mike Haber, we're going to start with you. Who's your bust in the outfield?
I'm going Kyle Schwarber.
I guess you don't believe in the 45 homers, but the 200 strikeouts, huh?
The 200 strikeouts. I mean, I don't think he'll hit 45 homers again. And if he regresses to even 35, 30, it's still good, but what's his ADP now? Like, you have to spend a second round draft pick on this guy?
Oh, I don't think that. Or is it third, maybe?
Schwarber is going 48.
Yeah, it's back end of the third.
Back end of the third.
Yeah. Start of
the fourth. I think that's too high for a guy that strikes out 200 times and barely hits over 200. So
yeah, I'm with you. I also have a guy who strikes out a ton and hits better than 200, but I'm not entirely sure that that's going to last much longer. He also doesn't walk at all. All right. So I had a couple of Rangers as like nice little sleepers and nice little comeback players. Adolis Garcia, I'm fucking out on. Like, I am out on this bro now completely at all forever. This dude strikes out way too much. He hits the ball really hard. I do like that. But, like, you could throw the rosin bag up there and he'd swing at this thing. He literally swings. I want him and Max Muncy to mind meld as a person so that we can get one human who has this kind of power and, like, discipline, right? But we're not going to get that. What we're going to get is another like 230s season with, I mean, here's the thing. He went 27, 101 and 25 steals last year. And he went 30 and 16 in 2021. He's also what? 30. He's 30 years old. How many more of these is he going to be? And if he continues to be this, well then, I kind of got to put him into the top tier of outfielders, but I don't think this is going to be real. I'm expecting like 17 homers, 75 RBIs, and like 10 steals. A bad batting average. I think they're going to move on from him before season's end.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're getting younger, man. Like, there's kids coming.
Yeah. He was my pick for right field bust, but I had to go with my left field bust as my bust pick. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Jason, who's your center field bust?
Michael Harris.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. He is currently going, where is it?
He's second.
32nd. 32nd, yeah. Second round. Yeah. For a kid that, like, I feel like kind of came out of nowhere. Yes, he was rookie of the year. Yes, he had a great season, all that. But, like, he struck out a lot, didn't walk a lot. I know he's playing for the Braves, so that's great. I just don't know if I'm willing to spend that draft pick for a kid that we don't really know much about. So I'm not out on him, but I'm definitely out on him in the second round.
Okay.
Good call.
Yeah, I can certainly respect that. Now, that also ties back into my Ozzie Albies bust idea, is like, this dude could have taken over the second spot in the lineup, in which case you're batting Ozzie Albies further down the lineup, and that becomes a problem. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. Comeback player in the outfield. I'm going to start with one here for you. This guy hit 16 homers and 54 RBIs last year in 84 games. He was hurt quite a bit, but when he was healthy, hit .295 with over a .350 on base percentage. Good for an .858 OPS. I think he's good for that. And he's no longer going to have to play the outfield while still having eligibility there. Mike Haber, give me Eloy Jimenez as my bounce back this year. 30 homers, .280 or better batting average, 100 RBIs as a full-time DH that is still going to carry left field eligibility.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Every time he played for me, he was great and productive. He just didn't play that often. But exactly. Every time he was playing.
Yeah. So now that he's not going to have to play the field, he just looks like a gazelle in the wrong neighborhood out in left field. Like, I remember he gave up a Christian Yelich inside the park home run during the 2020 season because he fell into the netting and, like, just laid there like just lost. Like, I have no idea what's happening. He tore his pec muscle jumping for a ball over the left field wall. Like, let's stop this.
Yeah.
Abreu's gone. Edwin Encarnacion was there for a minute. He's now gone. Like, DH is Eloy's and leave him there.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mike, who's your comeback?
I'm torn, but I think I'm going to go with Nick Castellanos here.
That's a good one.
It's a fair one.
I like that.
I mean, he can't be much worse, can he?
He can't be worse. And now you can get him at a discount. And the Phillies are still a really dominant lineup here. And I mean, if he can give you more than he gave you last year, you're like, that's a comeback right there. So,
yeah, age 31 season in Philly. You certainly like the ballpark. It's just, I don't know what happened last year. All of the underlying numbers are awful. Average exit velocity way down, max exit velocity way down, hard hit percentage, strikeout rate, chase rate, whiff rate, walk rate. It all just nosedived.
Yeah.
It can't just be Cincy. Like, it can't. It had to be some sort of injury. Like, do you think he was hurt? Do we think was there anything about him being hurt?
I feel like maybe at one point there might have been.
He had a better 2020 season in 60 games.
Yeah.
Than he had in 2022 in 136 games.
Right. Something was off last year.
Yeah. But
I think there's a recipe for some sort of, even if it's not his 2021 numbers, there's a recipe here for some sort of, like, somewhere in between. And that would still be a comeback.
He could still be, yeah, you're right. He could still be 22 homers and 70 RBIs and like a decent batting average.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What a terrible year.
Right.
Jason, who's your comeback?
Man, it's tough because I like all three of mine.
I almost went with the one that I think you're going to say.
I mean, Chris Bryant, like.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Like, why not? If we're assuming health, he's gonna play. There's no way he's not gonna play if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing Coors Field, so, like, what's the problem? And I'm just going to quickly gloss over that. My other two were Ramon Laureano and Austin Meadows, because I think those two guys can both, they can both be traded to better teams. And if they're healthy, they can both be very good. So
I do like the Austin Meadows play. That was a 30 and 100 guy a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So
it was. It was.
Yeah. And all right. I also want to speak to what you said on Chris Bryant, in that right now he only has left field eligibility, but this is a guy who has proven in the past, like, he loves playing all over the field. So he can qualify at second base, who knows, by the end of the year. You know?
Well, with the Brendan Rodgers injury, there's room for him to be moved around.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know, even if it's just to right field and have dual outfield eligibility, something. There's definitely room for him to be moving around the field.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to my favorite position, boys. It is the starting pitchers. Let's start with a sleeper. I expect you boys to go deep on this one, because I didn't go very deep here. I was very, very superficial on a lot of these. So let's hear the starting pitchers. Jason, who's your sleeper?
I have a couple here, but I'm going to go with, I think I actually rushed him for a little bit last year. Brian Bayo, okay, from the Red Sox. Right now, it doesn't seem like he's ticketed to start the year in the rotation, but I can't see that he'd be gone for very long. It would take very long for him to get into the rotation. So, the Red Sox, I don't know if they're going to compete or not, but either way, I feel like this kid has a path into the rotation. So one more injury to Chris Sale and he's in.
One more injury to anybody in that rotation and he's probably at this point. Like, there's not a whole lot left for him to get past in order to get into that rotation. So we will see. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's not anybody there that's stopping him so long as he performs well. So go out and do well in spring and do well in AAA if that's what they want you to do, and they'll bring you up at some point, because there's not a whole lot of depth here, and I'm really concerned that the Red Sox are going to be bad pitching. Yeah. That said, we'll talk about another guy in a minute. Mike, who is your sleeper?
I love my sleeper. My sleeper is Dre Jameson on the Diamondbacks. Nice. a favorite for that number five rotation spot. We got a small taste of what he could do last year, and he was great. Mm-hmm. He's been like playing around with some new pitches during spring training this year. He just worked in a changeup that, so he got hit around a little bit in spring, but he's experimenting, and that's the point of spring. But I think he's going to claim this fifth spot, and he can really do some big things here for Arizona.
All right. You guys are going to love this. My sleeper at starting pitcher this year is a player that is going to be a rookie this year and is going to be playing on a first place team. They're going to be playing in a very large market. And when I look at this particular player, I like to look at guys who are similar to him. And one guy that sticks out particularly that reminds me of this guy is Masahiro Tanaka. Now, Masahiro Tanaka's rookie year, we saw 13-5 with a 2.77 in 20 games before he went down to injury. So 135 innings with a 1 whip. Nice. Real nice. What if we got that out of Kodai Senga?
Yes.
Give me Kodai Senga, because it's not that hard for him to come out and do exactly what Masahiro Tanaka did. And we have seen more Japanese pitchers come over and succeed than we ever have Japanese hitters. I am very in on Billy Epler's ability to recruit and scout Japanese talent. He is the guy who brought over Tanaka and Ohtani. So if I'm going to believe in somebody, it'll be Billy Epler. Go ahead and give me Kodai Senga.
Yeah. He's going 195th right now.
I
had him as one of my breakout candidates, but he does definitely qualify as a sleeper too, because he's going so far in the draft.
Yeah, go ahead and give me the three starter on the Mets that nobody knows what he looks like if they couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Yeah,
and he throws a ghost pitch. So
right. a pitch you can't see because it's a ghost.
Yeah.
All right. Jason, who's your breakout this year?
Well, I mentioned Senga was one of them. I'm going to go with George Kirby. Again, you know my love fest with the Mariners. Mm-hmm. And he's right smack dab in the middle of that rotation. I could see him having a really nice year. Yeah. Give me Kirby.
I actually just traded Kirby in a dynasty league, but I got Luis Castillo out of it. So I feel like that's an upgrade. So, but I do like George Kirby this year. I think Logan Gilbert and Emerson Hancock are going to be the three of the future for that team. And yeah, this is the first full season we'll see out of him. I think 160 yeah. innings might be safe, but I don't think we'll see much more than that this particular year. Mike, who's your breakout this year?
Well, I had two names on this list. One of them is my AL Cy pick, which is Alek Manoah, but I'm going to go with a more fun choice here. We're going to go Ronzi Contreras on the Pirates.
Woo! We're taking our first Pirate.
Yep. I had him at some point last year. He has the stuff to be that sort of like coming out of nowhere pitcher that maybe gets drafted. I don't know what his ADP is, but he's looking free. Great. What?
Free.
Free?
Yeah, he's free. He's okay. Like 600 or change or probably more.
Really? Okay.
He's at 248.
Oh, wow. He's under 250. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pitched great in the spring. He's pitching for Team Dominican Republic right now. Looking good there too. I think that I think he's got big things coming, and I just wish he played for a better team.
But. Yeah. Yeah. I also have a guy on a bad team. Well, I have a guy who was on a bad team. But Jason, I'll come to you first here for your pitching breakout. Who do you have at starter? Or I'm sorry. We did yours. That is my turn, is it not? Well,
it is.
We're an hour and 40 in. I'm having fun. All right. So in 2021, my breakout candidate at starting pitcher won 13 games. He had 33 starts. That's 180 innings. He struck out 210 guys. And coming into the 2022 season, there were so many people, my two co-hosts included, who were just gushing over Tyler Molly in Cincinnati. It was gross, and I didn't like it. He threw to a 4.40 ERA in Cincinnati this past year in 104 innings, gave up a lot of home runs. Everything sort of fell back to earth. But he moved to Minnesota. And he didn't pitch much for Minnesota. We saw 16 innings for him in Minnesota before he was shut down. So we don't know what he could do in Minnesota. Better pitching environment, better offense, doesn't have any kind of pressure of being the guy behind Luis Castillo anymore because he's the fourth guy behind Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray. So there's not really any pressure on him. He can just go out and do his thing, and maybe we see a return. Maybe, in fact, we see a step forward from 2021 and we get 200 innings with 240 strikeouts and 15 wins. I'll take it. I'll win it. Yeah, Tyler Molly, league winner.
Okay. Okay.
All right. My bust is Dylan Cease. We've already talked about it. Go see the starting pitcher podcast to hear why I hate him. Mike Haber, who do you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the best pitcher in baseball here. We're going to go Jacob DeGrom as my bust. And the only reason is because I don't trust that he's going to stay on the field, and that's it. And someone is going to spend a second or third round pick on this guy, and I don't think he'll stay on the field. So, sorry.
All right.
My bust.
I mean, you make very valid points, and you're absolutely right. Someone's going to spend a good draft pick on him, and He's a
what
risk.
Are we calling he's a good absolutely... draft pick here? Where is he going right now in ADP?
Let's see.
I want to say top 50, right?
Oh yeah.
But like, I don't feel like top 35.
He's going 31.
Wow. That's a second rounder in the bigs.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I can't do that.
Pass.
I can't pass, do that.
Pass.
It's definitely high risk, high reward. I mean, I don't know if there's another player that is that level of high of risk and that level of reward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because 180 innings of him might be 300 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He's the Tatis of pitchers.
Yep. Absolutely. Jason, who's your bust?
It was Cease. I can't think of anybody more of a bust candidate than Cease.
Absolutely. All right. Does anybody not have Chris Sale as a comeback player? Okay, Jason, who do you have as your comeback player?
Eduardo Rodriguez.
No! We're not doing this again.
He has looked good so far in spring. Yes. No. Go see the starting pitcher pod. That's all I got to say. Oh, man.
You're going to do this Eduardo thing on Detroit. Yeah. We don't like Detroit.
It's all right. That's okay. You can pitch against the Royals. You know, that's okay.
I got a different one too.
Okay. Who you got?
I got Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just, you know, I know we're all holding on to that one half of a season where he was absolutely dominant, but like, what if he figured it out and he's pitching in St. Louis and he can come back and be like a number three starter and still be a comeback. So
when's his walk year? I want to know when his walk year is, because if it's this year,
let's see. I don't know when it is.
He is an unrestricted free agent after this season.
There you go. There you go.
That is a huge incentive for that guy to pitch huge. Yeah. Okay. I'm in on Jack Flaherty. Yep. All right. Just like the relief pitcher show that we did, I didn't bother doing sleeper breakout and bust for relievers because I didn't like, okay. So my bust is Kenley Jansen because I feel like he's a bust candidate every year.
Okay.
And I feel like my comeback is going to be Josh Hader because he had a bad year, but like he's still on a first place team. There you go. I don't have a sleeper and I don't have a breakout. Let's talk to you guys. Mike, who's your sleeper at relief pitcher?
My sleeper is Ron Marinaccio. We already spoke about him and I love him.
Yeah, Ronnie Marinara sauce. I just wrote Josh Haber into my comeback line because
he'll appreciate that.
He's my comeback player of the year. Yeah.
All right. Ronnie Marinara sauce for Mike Haber. Jason, who's your sleeper?
AJ Puck. Well, we talked about him also in the relief show. He's going 240 right now, ADP, and this could be the closer of the Marlins by the end of the year. So I would take him late in the draft.
Mm-hmm. All right. If we're referencing the relief pitcher pod, I may as well say Miguel Castro is probably my sleeper. He's probably going outside the top 250. So there you go. Who do you guys have as a breakout?
I've got Brian Abreu.
Okay. Yeah. The dude in Houston. We talked about him in the reliever pod.
Yep.
Jason, who do you have?
Andres Munoz.
Good choice there as well. I don't really have anybody that I'm specifically ridiculously high on. Like, so I'm not going to really call a breakout. Who's going to get 30 saves out of nowhere? I guess Alexis Diaz.
I guess. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, he'll save all 30 games the Reds win this year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, they have to win 31 because they have to win 30, yes, because the Pirates are going to win like 31. Yeah,
right.
Pirates will not be the worst team. All right, bust candidate, Mike Haber.
Yeah, you're going to be shocked at this one, but I'm going to go Ryan Helsley.
I'm actually not that shocked. Because his underlying numbers weren't great, his minor league numbers weren't great, and there's not really, it's kind of like a what the hell, where the hell did this actually come from?
Yeah, and now you have to spend pretty high up to get him, so that's why it's my bust.
Absolutely. Jason?
somebody who has to spend a little even higher on, a little bit higher on, is Devin Williams. He's never been a full-time closer. You know, he's always had Josh Hader there up until midpoint last year, but you know, he's always been kind of the eighth inning guy. Mm-hmm. We just don't know if he can handle being the ninth inning guy for a full season. And he's going right now in 56 ADP. So that's, you know, he's got the stuff, but does he have the makeup to be the closer? And we don't know that. So that's a bit of a risk.
All right. Yeah, good call with Devin Williams. He might be the guy who takes a step back, but then, God, the Brewers are really up shit's creek if that guy does that, because it's Matt's Bush after that. It is. All right, my comeback's Josh Hader. Does anybody have a different one?
I don't.
Jose Leclerc.
Yes, good call. Nice. I like it. Yeah. Coming off the injury year and probably the top guy to lead Texas at this point. Guys, that'll do it. Wow, that took much longer than I anticipated, but I am thrilled that we got through this one. Guys, we are so close to opening day. I'm so excited. Mike, thank you so much for being here with us, man.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for including me in this. This is always a fun show I want to be a part of. And yeah, I'm so excited. I'm itching. I'm itching to check my lineup every morning and make ads and offer Jason trades and reject trades from you, Joe. Like, I'm itching for this.
I'm ready to start talking with Frank about trades again and talk with you guys about what Frank's shopping that day. Yeah, super excited. Jason, thanks for getting up real early with us, man.
Man, if there's anybody I'm going to get up early for, it's you guys, like, to talk baseball with you boys. It doesn't even feel early. It feels just like baseball. So I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to talk with you guys. And yeah, I'm ready to set my lineup. I'm ready to check lineups. I'm ready to get going. Let's do this thing.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for watching on YouTube. If you aren't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button down below and ring the bell next to it so that you know when we go live, because that will start becoming a thing here shortly. And when we upload new content, for those of you listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, God, I feel like it's half a dozen other places. It's just so many different places. Thank you. Give us a 5-star rating, review us, share us with your league mates, share us with your friends. I share it with all of my dynasty league mates. So thank you all for welcoming me to your leagues and welcoming me to your homes through this platform. Until next time, guys, it has been real. It has been fun. It is all real fun in the bigs. We'll see you guys next time.